This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, October 14th, 2011. It's another Patriots.com Roster Report. I'm Andy Hart, joined by the ever-popular Paul Perillo. We're here to break down a somewhat busy week in terms of transactions.
Can I make a prediction?
Sure.
I think Philip Adams might be heavily involved in this Roster Report.
He will
podcast.
Be, at least in terms of when I list the transactions. I'm not sure there'll be much discussion.
Correct.
Unless you want me to drop the Philip Adams question on you on what he brings to the table. And
you know the Roster Report rules, Andy.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay, we'll start with October 8th. Last week, the Patriots signed Ross Ventrone to the active 53-man roster. And what did they do to make room for him, Paul?
I think Philip Adams may have been involved.
They cut Philip Adams. Ventrone was active and played in Sunday's big win over the New York football Jets. October 10th, Patriots released offensive lineman Thomas Welch, who was also active and played a role in the win over the Jets, serving again as a reserve, well, tackle and tight end, depending on how they used him in their multiple tackle slash tight end sets. On October 11th, Patriots re-signed tight end Dan Gronkowski, who was here a couple weeks back and had a, I believe it was a hamstring injury.
Correct.
And is now healthy. Everyone involved said they knew he was coming back. I know his brother Rob said, yeah, I knew he was coming back. He just had to get healthy. He's healthy. He's back as a member of the New England Patriots. And he's a couple locker stalls down from his younger brother Rob. October the 12th, Thomas Welch, who I just mentioned was cut from the active roster, was re-signed to the practice squad. He's making his maneuverings that he's done two or three times already this year. October 13th, the big one of the week, Mike Wright, veteran defensive lineman, was placed on season-ending injured reserve, which I know is redundant, but that's how I hear all the other radio reports do it, so I call it season-ending injured reserve.
I couldn't agree with you more about that, but go on.
Wright had the concussion late last season that landed him on IR in 2010. Started this season active, played against the Miami Dolphins, and took what he said was a hit to the side of his head that was similar to the hit that injured him against the Colts, only less of a big hit. And he knew yet again that something wasn't quite right, experienced some concussion-like symptoms, didn't finish that game, hasn't played since, got on the practice field a little bit last week, and I think had people believing he was going in the right direction. But right now they made the decision that just makes sense for everybody involved in terms of the medical staff and his future. I don't just think as a football player, but his future as a human being. He admits he still has problems watching TV, playing on the computer, and even just, quote, letting his brain heal. You know, he has had some trouble with anxiety and not allowing his brain to just kind of relax and heal. So obviously there's more at stake here than just whether he can, you know, get back and have five sacks at some point in his career in another season. It's about future of the human being, Mike Wright. But both Bill Belichick and he said they haven't yet made a long-term decision on that. And they'll save that to the proper time. Right now, it's just about him getting right and getting healthy.
And check out Patriots.com. Eric Scalavino does a nice job of sort of recapping the words that Mike Wright had to say, just a few hours ago.
Yes.
In the media workroom. So some interesting, I thought, insightful things that Wright, introspective, I would
on a
sort of,
micro and a macro level, both about not just himself and his issues, but you know, in this process, learning and looking back at who he was in college and, you know, getting dinged and shaking it off and that kind of mentality
right.
and the newfound respect he has for the human brain and what it does.
It's a worthwhile read.
It is. It was a very interesting, I won't call it a press conference. It was in the media workroom, but he met with a gathering of reporters. And it was emotional, I thought. You know, not in a teary kind of way, but just you know, the severity and the issue at hand is one that you know. Based on everything we've seen with guys committing suicides and having mental issues and dementia and these things, that's the road he's potentially going down. You know, this isn't just, he blew out his ACL and he gets surgery and he might limp for the rest of his life. Well, you don't limp with a concussion. You deal with it on a 24-hour-a-day basis. And I think it really brings the issue that we've known as a big deal home, so to speak, here at Gillette Stadium.
And Philip Adams was brought back to replace him, but
he
today
shouldn't get to comfortable in his roster spot, so to speak. The Patriots signed defensive tackle Marcus Harrison and released Phillip Adams, although I don't have another release, but I'm going to warn everybody. I bet you he's involved in another one of these at some point. Practice squad, active roster. I bet we haven't heard the last from Phillip
Adams. We've had a lot of guys over the years that are cut and brought back and cut and brought back, you know, four, five, six times during the course of a season. This has to be a record for transactions involved in 1 week.
No question. Not a simple, relaxing life for Phillip Adams. Doesn't know whether he's coming or going, so to speak.
Kind of like Fred.
Yes. Harrison, the defensive tackle they signed to the active roster today, presumably to fill the spot that...
You said that very Ted Sarandis-like.
...that was held previously by Mike Wright, adding some depth there on the defensive line. 6'3", 316 pounds, originally a third-round pick in 2008 by the Bears, 90th overall out of Arkansas. During his 37 career games over three seasons with the Bears, Harrison amassed 55 tackles, three sacks, and three passes defensed. And, Paul, I'm going to color you intrigued by Mr. Harrison and what potential he might have. Go.
I think this is the kind of move that the Patriots are very good at. There's obviously some talent here with Harrison. Third-round pick. The knock on him is a work ethic. Okay? So he hasn't worked very hard. That's how he fell out of favor in Chicago. And I read some... reports, some tweets today on him. That's why he was a third-round pick in the first place, was that he didn't have a great motor coming out of Arkansas. So nothing to lose. 53rd guy on the roster, obviously. Maybe you bring him in. Maybe he's motivated. Maybe being out of football for a little bit is set. You know what? I'm wasting this. I have an opportunity to do something. Or maybe next week he's out of football again and you get nothing on it. But nothing ventured, nothing lost. I think this is the kind of move that Bill Belichick has really tried to make with varying results over the years. This is the kind of Patriots kind of move. You might have something here.
And they signed Harrison after also working out Pierre Allen, a rookie out of Nebraska, who PFW liked as a little bit more of a rusher type, maybe a developmental 3-4 defensive end, little undersized. I think he was only like 280-something when he played at Nebraska, more of a pass rusher. But they went with Harrison, who seems to be a little bit maybe more of a well-rounded defensive lineman based on some of the versatility they're looking for at this point. And now, as always on Friday in the roster report, we're going to take a quick look at the injury report, which just came out hot off the presses here at Gillette Stadium. Only one player listed as out, Josh Barrett, yet again with the hamstring and thumb injuries, although I believe it's the hamstring that's keeping him out because he played through the thumb issue. The bulk of the rest of the players on the injury report are questionable. That includes Lee Bodden, Sergio Brown, Rasai Dowling, Julian Edelman, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Albert Hainsworth, Aaron Hernandez, Kyle Love, Gerard Mayo, Matthew Slater, Sebastian Vollmer, Danny Woodhead. Just to hit on a couple of the interesting names here, Gerard Mayo was limited in practice on Friday, returned to the practice field. Some reports had it as a month to 6 weeks that he'd be out. Not saying it's going to be sooner than that, but it has to be a good sign that he returned to the practice field today quicker than I think anyone would have imagined.
I think the PFW in progress estimation of 3 weeks is going to be in play.
Looking good.
Don't forget they have a bye next week.
Yep.
Gives them an extra week. That's 3 weeks. I think there's a chance.
Two key contributors who've been missing action lately, one for just a short period and one for a longer period, Sebastian Vollmer. Limited throughout the week, Paul, and with the roster move to get rid of Thomas Welch, do you have to believe that Vollmer is now ready to get back in action?
I do. I would make that assumption. And I think you have Welch still here, so if it doesn't go well, you could always bring him back. But I think they have to feel pretty confident that he'll be able to play on Sunday, in that they're not going to have another player active to take that roster spot. So clearly they want to let Vollmer play, and in order to do that, they felt like they could let Welch go and get a roster spot somewhere else. So, yeah, you have him, Mayo, and Edelman, and Woodhead, I believe, all elevated from doubtful last week to questionable this week.
Speaking of Woodhead, I think the injury focus a little bit on the backfield this week, where Woodhead returned to practice. You know, we kind of expected that. We've seen him walking around the locker room seemingly with very little limp or any issue from the ankle injury. He was limited in practice all week, and as you said, is questionable. I expect him to be on the field Sunday. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis missed practice on Thursday with a toe injury, was limited on both Wednesday and Friday, listed as questionable. Do you believe he will be on the game field on Sunday, or could this be a game-time decision? What's your read on Ben Jarvis Green
you
Ellis.
Know, it's hard to have a really accurate read, just not knowing. But
I didn't ask for an accurate one, just a read.
The toe, well, I think he'll play on Sunday.
Okay, good.
Because he got back out on the practice field today, but based on nothing beyond that. Got to think it's probably a turf toe kind of a thing.
I hope not.
With running backs. And that can be, and I know it sounds like a silly thing, like a big, tough football player has got a toe injury. That's a very damaging injury for a running back especially. And we've seen that happen. I think we saw it happen with Fred Taylor recently.
It has taken down Hall of Famers.
We've seen a lot of running backs deal with that injury, and it can be a crippling one. But I don't know if that's what it is here with Benny. But the fact that he got back in the practice field today leads me to think that he'll be able to go on Sunday.
On the Cowboys side, they have four players listed as out. Their kicker is one of them, Bueller. Derek Dockery, the guard, is one of them. They have a bunch of players listed as probable, among them a couple key receivers. Dez Bryant is dealing with a thigh injury, and Miles Austin dealing with a hamstring injury. So I would say those are two areas to keep an eye on. Obviously, they are a big part of that Dallas offense, that passing game. And anytime a receiver has a leg injury, you know that is literally one play away from just barking at him a little bit, as Tito Francona might say, and greatly improving the Patriots' chances of winning. Yeah. If either of those two guys were to in any way be slowed or leave the field, I would up my feeling of confidence for the New England Patriots.
They were, however, able to fully participate in practice all week, and there's a lot of that's the majority of the Cowboys' injury report is probable with guys fully participating in practice.
So Sunday afternoon, Gillette Stadium, 4:15 start. America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, travels in town to take on the Patriots, who are 1 week away from their bye.
Should be an interesting one.
Should be a very interesting one. A lot of stars, not just on the Cowboys' helmets, but in uniform for both teams. And this is a big battle for the Cowboys, a team that I think needs to prove its legitimacy. Best way to do that is to go on the road and beat the New England Patriots.
And the best way to get ready for that game is to join us here on Patriots.com at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Andy Hart and I will be here for the JetBlue Patriots pregame social.
Until then, tune in Sunday. We're going to go take a nap and get ready so we're amped up for the big game with Big D. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. Peace out.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson. Download the podcast now.